You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
There are 39 days left until Election Day. A number of states have already started voting, but for the rest of us, it feels like we still have a long way to go. Joining us now for a segment we're calling The Borowitz Report is the author of The Borowitz Report, Andy Borowitz. Welcome back to our show, Mr. Borowitz.
Well, thanks for having me, Leonard. That's the record for saying the name Borowitz, I think, on the radio.
Well, I was going to say it one more time. Are you pleased that we came up with this original title?
Very clever. It's good for the brand.
With fewer than 40 days to go, is your newsroom bustling with activity?
My fake newsroom? Well, you know, actually, I think as much as a lot of the stuff that's been going on has been funny, this is, in a way, a situation that's not ideal for people in my line of work, i.e. parasites, scavengers, people who look for things in the news to talk about, because the race is getting kind of boring. It's beginning to look like Obama walking away, and I know that those are famous last words, but I think the last time we sat here, Leonard, I said that both of these guys are spending millions of dollars and a lot of energy to become president of Ohio. And that seems to still be the case. Everybody just says it doesn't matter what happens to the—I think the rest of the country should just take a holiday from this thing and just let Ohio sort it out, because that seems to be the only thing that matters right now.
Well, the Electoral College keeps on playing more and more of an important role in our elections. And every year people come up with a proposal to eliminate it, and of course it's never going to happen.
Right. Well, I think one of the big proponents actually is from the magazine I work at, the New Yorker, Hendrik Hertzberg, has been just leading this charge against the Electoral College for a long time. But it's a very unfair system. I think if you institute a system like that for, say, American Idol, there would probably be rioting in the streets. People would say, that's unfair. Why should Ohio
get... Democratic.
It's not democratic. But you know what? For electing the leader of the free world, it's cool. We're fine with it. No problem.
Well, as you say, a number of the polls show the president moving ahead. Doesn't he sometimes get into trouble when he appears to be overconfident?
He has a problem. He has a problem with overconfidence. I think President Obama right now is really just trying to kind of hold on to the ball, to use a football analogy. And actually, I was watching, I don't know if you're a football fan, Leonard, but I was watching my hometown Cleveland Browns last night. I don't know if anyone else.
Get beaten
by the Baltimore Ravens. And it's actually a fairly convenient an applicable analogy to this race, because you had a team that was sure to win, the Ravens, and they were playing a pretty conservative game. They didn't have to do any razzle-dazzle.
But weren't they once the Browns?
Well, let's not go there. We're not even going to talk about that. That's too upsetting. They were once the Browns. They left in the dark of night. That's a whole other issue.
Art Modell just died.
He did just die. He did. There wasn't a lot of weeping in Cleveland about that. But getting back to my brilliant football analogy, Leonard, last night you had a Cleveland Browns team with a rookie quarterback, Brandon Whedon, who mainly spent the evening throwing the ball to the other team. He was really hooking up very well with the Ravens. And I thought to myself, who does this remind me of? And, well, the fact is it's a lot like Mitt Romney, who just keeps on giving these gifts to the Obama camp. The difference is, of course, and unlike Brandon Whedon, Mitt Romney is no rookie. He's been running for president for about 27 years, so there's no excuse for all these mistakes.
Well, it's the polls that suggest that he is suffering as a result, including a Fox News swing states poll that found that voters in Ohio, Virginia, and Florida give the president the advantage over Governor Romney when it comes to who will improve the economy. And I want to get to that in a moment, but have you heard about the conservatives who started claiming that many of the polling companies have a liberal bias? I don't know where Fox News fits into that. And that Mitt Romney is actually ahead? What do you make of that?
Well, it's a strange thing. I don't think of Fox News as having a tremendously liberal bias, but I guess there's a new spin on everything. I'm not so sure that even makes sense because, for example, I don't know that it's necessarily good news for the president that all these polls say he's way ahead, because I think that tends to depress turnout. I think in a lot of states, maybe you're living in Cuyahoga County in Ohio and you say, oh, we're 5 points up, so I don't need to vote. So I'm not so sure. I think if there were a whole spate of polls saying that he's barely ahead in these swing states, that would probably be the best news for Obama, because then people would actually say, oh, I've got to go out and vote.
Well, politicians all want to be the underdog.
Right. Well, then Mitt Romney is doing a splendid job of that. And I'll leave the dog references to Gail Collins. But he is turning himself for a guy who's, you know, worth about $200 million and is sort of the son of industry, he's done an amazing job of turning himself into an underdog.
Well, when he polls poorly on who will improve the economy against a man who the NBC poll says voters disapprove of his handling of the economy, what does that mean?
Well, it's kind of choose your poison. But, you know, the thing that always happens in these presidential contests is whoever's behind, and Mitt Romney does this all the time, whoever's behind always says this isn't a popularity contest. A presidential election is only a popularity contest. It measures nothing other than popularity. People are deciding this race according to who is more likable. And in this case, it's not even close. Obama just is a more likable guy. There is a core of people, of course, who despise him. But on the whole, that was the key difference, I think, that came out in the 60 Minutes interview last week. It wasn't that that Romney acquitted himself poorly. He actually didn't make, by his standards, any gaffes. And you could even say Obama made a gaffe or two. But the overall impression that was left was, gee, Obama seems like the president. He is the president, and he keeps on telling us he's the president. And Romney seems like this kind of weird rich guy we don't really like.
Well, Romney also probably was hurt as much as anything by the release of that secret recording of him talking in front of supporters at a fundraiser about the 47% of Obama supporters who he thinks won't vote for him. It's been played ad nauseum, but you know what? I want to play it one more
time.
Okay,
well, it's your ringtone now.
All right, there are 47% who are with him, who are dependent upon government, who believe that they are victims, who believe that government has a responsibility to care for them, who believe that they're entitled to health care, to food, to housing, to you name it. But that's an entitlement, and government should give it to them. And they will vote for this president no matter what. And I mean, the president starts off with 48, 49, 40, he starts off with a huge number. These are people who pay no income tax.
Now, that clip is exactly 28 seconds long, which is about the running length of an average political ad, a fact that the Obama campaign has already pounced on. Can Romney catch any breaks in this election, or is he at fault for not realizing now that you should not say anything in a room where there's a recording device, even a cell phone?
Well, you know, it's interesting you bring this up about that secret recording, because my feeling, and I would say this to anybody in the media, let's not take one stupid thing that Romney said in private overshadow the many stupid things he said in public. He said more or less that in public. He said after one of the debates that he didn't care. He didn't care about poor people. I'm not worried about poor people. That's essentially the same thing.
Recently he's been caught up on this whole business about going to the emergency room if you need medical attention.
Right. That's our health system, according to him, is the emergency room, which is sort of what it was, again, during the Bush years. That's sort of why there was a lot of talk about health care.
Well, the Republicans thought that they would get a lot of traction out of the president's "you didn't build that" remark. Why hasn't that helped them more, do you think?
I'm still kind of unclear as to what that "you didn't build that thing" meant. I think it was taken, it wasn't a good soundbite. It sort of requires too much explanation, at least to me. Maybe I'm dumb. And that'll be the soundbite that's taken out of context for me saying maybe I'm dumb. But I think it was an obscure soundbite that the Republican convention tried to turn into a winning catchphrase. I give them credit. But it's just not as good as, for example, "I like firing people" or "I don't care about poor people."
Which was also taken out of context, "I like firing people."
Right, right. He was saying he doesn't like firing people when they don't do a good job, which some people, I think Maureen Dowd actually brought up. You know, he hasn't applied that to his own campaign staff, because clearly if there is somebody he should relish firing, it's those clowns.
My guest is Andy Borowitz of the Borowitz Report, which can be found at thenewyorker.com.
Right, NewYorker.com.
And, of course, he comes by every couple of weeks to talk about what's going on in this election. We haven't been talking about some of the more serious things in this campaign. For example, the longest war in American history, the one in Afghanistan, has hardly come up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well,
if we talk about foreign policy, it's more about whether there was a terrorist attack in Libya or whether that was a spontaneous attack, and whether the president should have allowed the State Department in Egypt to issue an apology for an intolerant film in America, or whether we should just defend freedom of speech.
Well, look, President Obama, as I said at the beginning, he is mainly trying just to hold on to the ball. He's ahead. He doesn't want to cloud his chances at all with any of these sort of thorny political issues. Could you look at Afghanistan or Iraq and say, wow, those were great wars for America and we've ended them well? They're ending, but they're it's kind of like the TV series Lost. It's ending, but I'm not sure we know what it all meant. And I think that Obama, rather than getting caught up in the complexities of those things, is really just trying to brand himself as the guy who got bin Laden. Let that be his entire foreign policy. It's a little bit unfair because it doesn't give a full picture of how all of our various foreign policy interactions have played out. But that is his strategy. He's just holding on to the ball.
Well, we've already had people voting, but many people are counting on the debates to make the voters decide one way or another. And some analysts have suggested that Romney will have an advantage in the debates because he's had so many this election cycle already. I think it's probably unlikely that he'll make a $10,000 bet again. But CNN obtained a Romney campaign memo which seeks to downplay the importance of the debates, which I thought was interesting. Today we were told that he will be disciplined and aggressive. That's what his staff is saying. But in the memo, it notes that Obama is, quote, widely regarded as one of the most talented political communicators in modern history, and that the president will use his ample rhetorical gifts and debating experience to one end, attacking Mitt Romney. I always thought that was the point of a debate.
They do this every time. Every political candidate does this. Now, they always like to downplay the expectations. Mitt Romney is going into these debates, and debates play to two of his traditional weaknesses, which are talking and thinking. So I think he's going in knowing that he's going to have some problems. He did perform in a lot of debates, but, Brandon Whedon played a lot of football games before last night, too. Just the sheer volume of experience doesn't necessarily speak to anything. But get ready. The debates are, like, almost a week away. For the next 6 days, we're going to hear nothing but Barack Obama is Cicero. He is the finest debater in the history, the finest orator. He's Mr. Fancy Talk. That's all we're going to hear out of the Romney campaign. They're going to try to build up these expectations so that he can be the surprise winner.
Well, his staff is saying Mitt Romney has an advantage because he's had more time to prepare. And some people say that another advantage is that the Obama campaign selected Senator John Kerry to play Mitt Romney in preparation for the debate. I was going to say
that's the biggest advantage of all, having John Kerry, who was practically a doppelganger for Mitt Romney, to be your sparring partner for a week or two. What could be better than that? Maybe having Dukakis as a backup. I don't know.
Many on the left have been unhappy with the president's record. Do you think the campaign has addressed their concerns? Although we just have seen a change. George Soros, who said he was staying out of the presidential race, has given $1 million to an Obama super PAC.
Well, $1 million for George Soros. He finds that in his couch, I think. I don't think that's too impressive, but I'll give him that. You know what? I think that the base on both sides are going to come home. I mean, I think that it was crazy in a way for Romney to tack so far to the right because those people were always going to vote for him. And, Obama, it's a puzzle to me. I have never seen Obama as anything but a centrist pragmatist. He ran in 2008 as a guy who was going to, step up attacks in Afghanistan. He said he was going to build up the war effort in Afghanistan. There's this impression among the left that Obama is some kind of a left winger, and that's shared only by the extreme right who think he's a socialist. Most of us kind of in the center look at him and say, man, he's got a lot of guys in Wall Street working in his administration. He has a lot of centrist ideas. He uses drones a lot. He's kind of a centrist guy, but there's this disappointment on the left because I think they have a misunderstanding of who he is.
Do you think that Peggy Noonan will be voting for Romney despite what she said? She wrote in the Wall Street Journal this week, I called the Romney campaign incompetent, but only because I was being polite. I really meant rolling calamity.
Yeah, she was, I think, giving them too much credit for actually rolling. I mean, I think they're just a sort of static calamity.
But Ann Romney did respond to
that. She did.
Stop it. This is hard. You want to try it? Get in the ring. This is hard. And, it's an important thing that we're doing right now, and it's an important election. And it is time for all Americans to realize how significant this election is.
Do you think that that was effective in getting the conservatives who have been critical of her husband back in line?
Well, I think that it mainly was effective in terrifying anybody who listened to it. That was the scariest piece. I wondered what it would like to be like to be Mitt Romney and have her, you know, if he does something, he picks at her, she says, "Stop it. Just stop it right now." Well, she's really scary to me.
Well, she did raise five boys.
She raised five, but she's tough. She's tough. But, you know, it's funny because Ann Romney, the role of Ann Romney in this whole thing, if we recall, was that she was going to humanize Mitt Romney. And actually, she's kind of, at this point, I would think, a little bit more off-putting than Mitt. I mean, Mitt seems like kind of a, you know, a goofy guy who makes a lot of mistakes. But Ann Romney, I would not want to mess with her.
Well, she says you people.
She does say that.
Which I think turns some people off.
It does, especially you people.
Will you be tweeting during the debates?
I sure will. For those of you who don't already follow me, I am Borowitz Report on Twitter. And, yeah, I mean, I think it's – sometimes it's best not to watch the debates, I think, and just to follow them on Twitter. You'll get a more, I think, a slightly more palatable version of it. So I recommend that people do that if they haven't done that before.
And we'll be seeing you in a couple of weeks.
With the Borowitz Report, no doubt.
Yeah, the Borowitz Report on this show. And, of course, reading the Borowitz Report at thenewyorker.com.
Absolutely. Thank you, Leonard.
Your name again?
I believe it is Borowitz.